who wants to find out? Oh, well, okay. You guys ready? We'll do this together. Yeah? Everybody but Bassam, put up your hand. Yeah? Not yet. So who'd like to be our demo for strategy elicitation? Okay, and then he puts up his hand, right? That's how you get the right person to put up their hand, yeah?
And if that
you
person
just
asked
me how do you get the right person to put up your hand, I just demo.
You just wait there. You just wait there patiently until the right person puts up his or her hand.
And I'll tell you when you have to do that. When you we had a practitioner training in London. How many people were there?
Nine.
And there was only one guy in the training who was the only guy to do the anchoring demo. So I'm sitting there, and all these other people in the thing are raising their hand, and the women are raising their hand, and they're going, well choose. I'd like to do an anchoring. And I'm sitting here. So finally I look at him, and I go, And he goes, okay, I'll do it. So, yeah, just sit there and wait. I think that took at least 5 minutes to get the right person's hand up. Yes. You could.
Sure.
The strategy elicitation demo is the same. There's no question per se. You could say, who here thinks they're normally organized? If you hadn't done it before, if you hadn't done eye patterns before, you say, who here thinks they're normally organized? That's probably the question for strategy elicitation demo.
Yes.
Reversed versus normal. If you're doing a strategy demo and you haven't demonstrated eye patterns previously in your practitioner training, you'll have to demonstrate normal versus reverse organized.
Now, in the demo day.
In your demo day as a trainer, if your strategy demo is before you know if who in the class is normally versus reverse organized, you'll have to demonstrate eye patterns also, normal versus reverse organized.
Now, before you demonstrate somebody has already demonstrated eye patterns elicitation, and you know that that's a good demo subject, and you already had it demonstrated by somebody else, then you don't have to re-demonstrate. You just go straight into strategy elicitation. Yes.
Otherwise, you have to do two. However, generally, on most days, when we do demo day, on most demo days, we generally get to eye pattern elicitation before we get to strategy elicitation. Now, what do we demonstrate on strategy elicitation? We always demonstrate the decision-making strategy. But actually, there's actually somebody in the class who did motivation strategy.
Yeah, I think somebody has.
In one of the topics, somebody has motivation strategy.
Motivation strategy, okay.
So you'll probably be called upon to elicit motivation strategy. I don't demo motivation strategy. I demo decision-making strategy. Why? Yes, you want to know why. Why? Because decision-making strategy is the clearest one, the easiest one to separate out from the others. That's why I only demonstrate, because they only need to see one strategy elicited. They don't need to see every different strategy on the planet elicited. So I always demonstrate decision-making strategy with the convincer.
Now, when you demonstrate strategy elicitation, do it in a business context. Or if you demonstrate
when
you're demoing decision-making, do it in a business context, like when you bought that thing, what happened, rather than in a personal, intimate context. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Yes.
Commercial, business, context. Yep.
You don't want to elicit, how did you decide to get together with your husband? Or with your latest boyfriend, because of
it's fraught with
ecological
danger.
Reasons.
Fraught with danger. Furthermore, any predator in your audience could take advantage of someone
Because when you
knew her strategy.
When you're demonstrating the strategy, first of all, you anchor the person in front of you to you while they are reliving the state.
Just between you and me? If you elicit somebody's, you pick it, strategy.
Attraction
strategy, they'll be attracted to you.
Yeah.
If you're in eyesight of them.
If you are straight eyesight.
We need to say this to trainers. This is the truth for trainers. Yeah. If you elicit someone's attraction strategy, that person will be attracted to you. The best way to do that then, if you're not in a relationship with that person, is say, good, now can you remember a time when you're totally attracted to someone and they're sitting over there like that, so they're not looking at you. Because if they're looking at you, they'll be attracted to you. Isn't that true? Who's had their attraction strategy elicited and got attracted to the person? Anybody? No. Good. Oh, you did. Yeah. And that's okay if you're free, 21 and single. Or, I guess it doesn't have to be 21, really. Y'all are 21, so I guess it's okay. Anyway, if you're in a committed relationship, you want to be careful about that, especially as a trainer, unless you want all the women in the world to be knocking at your door. No, that's a joke, by the way. There are some trainers who, however, live on that, thrive on that, and then that's what they do. That's unfortunate. So,
when you
we're
demonstrate,
opposed to that.
Again, when you demonstrate strategy, so do it in a business context. And while when you already have the strategy, don't tell the class what the strategy is. Let the class tell you.
So you say, okay, I've got the strategy. The minute you have the strategy, you say to the class, okay, I've got the strategy. Do you want to see it again or do you want to just postulate what the strategy is?
The class probably will say, okay, let's see it again. Then you do it again.
Do it again.
Then you ask again the class.
Do it again.
So do you have it or we need to do it again? Do it again until the class will say, okay, we're ready to make
a postulation. Do it four or five times.
Yeah. If necessary, switch context. Okay, you bought the boots, fine. Then you bought the sweater. Then you bought the watch.
Couple things. We say this when we teach strategies, but it goes again for the trainer, especially when you're doing the demo. Make sure that it's something they purchased themselves, i.e., not with someone else, and make sure it's something they're happy with.
They're happy with the purchase.
Make sure they bought it alone and happy with.
The strategy of buying something they are not happy with may be different from the strategy of buying something they're happy with.
Some people use a different strategy for buying stuff they don't like. Okay. Utilization. Then you teach also utilization. So then you do it wrong first, and then you do it right. In a business context, if you do it wrong first, some business people are going to raise their hand, and they go like this. But I would never do it wrong with a client. And you go, yeah, that's correct. You wouldn't do it wrong with a client. You probably even have to explain it beforehand, or you'll get somebody, some wise guy who raises his hand and goes, why would you do it wrong with a client? So what you want to say is you'd never do it wrong in a business context with a client, but if you get it wrong, it won't matter. Let's test it wrong so we can get a calibration between the difference of doing it incorrectly or correctly. Do it wrong first and then do it right. The way I do it wrong usually is I do it backwards.
So if the strategy is VADK, you start KADV.
Okay. Questions about strategies? Good. Yes. On demo day, yes. It
yes,
is part
utilization
of it.
Is part of the demo in the demo day, correct.
Only on demo day, we're only going to ask you to do the decision part of the strategy. Or if someone picked motivation, we will ask you that. We don't usually actually ask for that. But okay. Yes.
In the demo day, you mean?
In the demo day, you won't have the script. So
unless
you could
know
do it
the
from
script.
The script, if you know it by heart. Yes, you could do it both. Yes. Yes. Sure. I think that would be smart.
So are you going to change your second topic?
Is this your second topic or your first topic? Whoa, it's a little late to change your second topic. Okay, go ahead and change it. Coaching assistants, if you get him for your topic, I won't have changed it in the printout, probably.
Stephen, that's a very wise decision. Because I was wondering, how are you going to separate exactly the beginning of the motivation strategy?
The motivation strategy is fraught with danger, as is the reassurance. The decisions-making strategy is the easiest thing to sort out in a short amount of time. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer to sort out the motivation strategy. Like, when did they actually really get the trigger to get motivated?
So you need to find the trigger.
You got to find the trigger. That's the problem. But decision-making strategy always occurs when the person is in the store choosing among the options that of which they later bought something. Okay. Any other questions about strategies? Good. Presuppositions, meta model, Milton model, demo. While teaching, there's no demo. Hierarchy of ideas. Before the exercise, demo with a person in class. The person in class runs your chunk level. Do you remember how we did it?
A person shows you chunk up, chunk down,
chunk sideways. There's actually, if you bought the slides, there's actually some really nice slides for that. They have animated thumbs. They do. So anyway, thumbs down, thumbs up, thumbs across, you demo it. You do the demo, you tell them a story, and you demo it. That's the demo, then they do the exercise. There's no demo in demo day for hierarchy of ideas chunking. Visual squash, also called parts integration.
You must demonstrate
this. I think you have to demonstrate this, both in demo day and in... Is anybody doing visual squash during this?
Yeah. I
thought there was somebody doing visual squash.
Parts integration.
That's the same. Same thing. Okay. So, first thing you do is you do an arm catalepsy induction. Is anybody in this training here doesn't know how to do an arm catalepsy induction? Raise your hand if you do not know how to do an arm catalepsy induction. Good. Find somebody else who does and get with them and have them show you.
You don't.
I have no idea. Could be.
You do not teach the practitioners how to do an arm catalepsy induction, and you don't tell them that you do one.
I have told practitioners that I was doing an arm catalepsy induction and freaked people out. Caused a significant loss of rapport between me and the class. Do not mention the arm catalepsy induction till master practitioner. I promise you, it's fraught with danger. So, first thing, do an arm catalepsy induction. Make sure you do a full VAK, which means i.e. touch the palm of the hand. Make sure they personify the part. And then demos for the subject so the hands come together automatically. So when you're talking about it, you're going to go like this. So do those parts notice their intention is the same? They do notice that, don't they? That their intention is the same. Yeah, so you lead the client along. Yeah.
You have to be very patient when you do parts integration.
Okay, now, and only Ellen's doing parts integration. When you do parts integration, let me just say, you take the part up beyond the boundaries of the part.
Associated.
Now, what does that mean? You ask the part for what intent, for what purpose, for what purpose, for what purpose, for what purpose. You ask the client, you ask the part that question enough times until the hands actually start coming together. You remember what we did in your practitioner training? We installed something about parts integration. What did we say? If the hands don't come together, what's the problem? Not chunk tie enough. Good. If the hands
start
come together,
and stop.
What's the problem? Not chunk tie enough. Correct.
If one hand starts moving, the other one doesn't.
What's the problem?
If the hands start coming together and then they move out again.
What's the problem? If the client says this part doesn't like the other part, what's the problem? What's the only problem you can have in parts integration? Not chunked high enough. If you chunk, it doesn't matter which hand you start with, but you should start with the hand that has the unwanted behavior. Whatever part you start chunking with, that if you chunk that part up high enough, the hands will start moving together, because what will happen is you'll go beyond the boundaries of the part and you'll go into the boundaries of the whole. Whoops, he said whacking his microphone. You will go into the boundaries of the whole person, inside the whole person, and the boundaries of the part will blow out and the hands will start to come together.
When the hands start moving together, you need to point that out to the client.
And you need to say, your hands are coming together. You're not doing
that. Did you notice
that? Yeah, you're not doing that purposefully, are you? And the client goes, no.
Usually the client's very surprised.
Especially if you notice it just before they notice it. That causes a significant emotional experience for the client. Because the client goes, no, I'm not moving my hands together purposefully. Oh my God, they're coming together. Yes, that's part of determining what the problem is, and that on the script it says clearly sort out identify the conflict and the parts involved. That's where you clearly sort out the parts and make sure they're widely separated.
You need to understand what's the conflict, and you need to make sure you don't have a two houses example when the client doesn't know in which house to live.
Let's say that again, because there are some folks that didn't study with us. I had a woman raise her hand at a practitioner training, and I said, so what's the problem? And she goes, I can't decide which of two houses to live in.
Now, please try it on you.
Can you try that on for a second?
If you have this problem, would that be a problem?
This is what you do when you do parts integration, or actually when you do virtually anything, when you're looking
you
at a problem.
You try it on you.
You try it on yourself, and you say, is that a problem? So if you had two houses, would that be a problem? Is there anyone in the room for whom that would be a problem if you had two houses? No, it's not a problem. She said, I've got two houses. I can't decide
now,
which one to live
obviously,
in.
That person is conflicted about something, but not about the houses.
It's not about the houses.
So you need to find out what is the real source of the conflict. So when you don't know what it is, you ask a question.
How is that a problem? You need to ask the question, how is that a problem, until you discover how it's a problem. Now, that is all if you bought the handouts in the manual. That's all in the parts integration handout. It says, if you do not understand how it's a problem, ask, how is it a problem? Yes. Yes.
Possible.
The part may chunk down.
In fact, when you are... As they hit the boundaries, you are... Please understand that you are asking the part to contemplate something that the part cannot possibly contemplate because it's beyond the boundaries of that part. So the tendency will be to chunk back down. And if that happens, you grab all two or three together and you ask them, if you were to have A, B, and C all together, what would that do for you? What would you have? What would you make you? Why would it make you feel? Or for what purpose would that be?
You could, but it's quicker to grab all three of the previous ones and say, so one, two, three, if you had that, what would that do for you? What would you feel? That'll keep them associated. The other thing is, speaking of that, is you have to keep the client associated as they go over the boundaries of the part. Okay, is that clear? Yes?
Good.
Excellent. Okay. Good. Done with parts integration.
Yep. Master practitioner.
Quantum linguistics. These patterns are demonstrated on the master practitioner tape set. Each of the non-memorized reverse inductive language patterns has to be demonstrated. You can do this for limiting belief in part. Prime concerns drop through must also be demonstrated. These are not in demo day because they're not traditional NLP. Metaprograms. Make sure you do the metaprograms, the 19 patterns in 8 minutes or less. What's the record? 4 minutes and 50 seconds, I think.
No, 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
4 minutes and 30 seconds is the record. So you just simply bring someone up and ask them all the questions, you know? That's how you do it. So you ask them 19 metaprogram questions in 4.5 minutes.
For the demo day, you will demonstrate only 5 metaprograms.
For demo day, you'll demonstrate 5 metaprograms. You will choose which 5 metaprograms you demonstrate. You will write the question and the metaprogram on the board from memory, and then you'll ask those questions to the
The question needs to be the correct question.
Yes. You'll do 5 metaprograms. 1 question for each metaprogram.
You've got the question, yeah.
You got whatever question is on the whatever question
belongs to that metaprogram, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Metaprograms? It's really simple. Metaprograms are really simple.
Very simple.
That's a piece of cake. Yes.
Yes.
You listed the 5 metaprograms you've chosen, then you teach the class how to recognize which one the answer was.
So you fire the questions quickly, you elicit the metaprograms, then you unpack it for the class.
Okay. Values. Now.
Oh, at the end of the metaprograms demonstration, you utilize it. You have an example of utilization with that particular client.
So a client who moves away from you'd say, this is what we want to avoid. Client who is possibility versus necessity, you'd say, and look at all the options we have. A client who has an internal frame of reference, you'd say, you alone will know when this is right for you. And so forth and so on. So you simply demonstrate using the
utilization,
using the pattern. Okay, values, let's talk about values. Values is somewhat complex to teach, and there's a very specific way to teach it. Let me talk about what the demo is first, then we'll talk about how to teach it and demo it while you're doing that. On demo day, there are a lot of people who've chosen values elicitation, so some of you won't get values elicitation as a topic. If you chose values elicitation as a topic and there's more than one or two people.
If there are two people, one of you will get values elicitation, the other one will get changing values in hierarchy with serpentalities. If there are three people who do values elicitation, the third person obviously won't get values.
The third person will get some other, probably submodalities intervention. I don't know. There's just a lot of people this year that chose values. Okay, so first let's talk about the demo day and what you're expected to do. In terms of putting your eliciting the values and the hierarchying, you use one demo subject. And we usually do the elicitation
context.
In a business or career context. So what's important to you about career? In your demo day, you'll only have to elicit the basic value, do the basic values elicitation, then put them in order and then utilize them.
So we're talking about the standard values elicitation. Eh?
So you'll do the standard values elicitation on demo day.
What's important to you? What else, what else, what else, what else, until they run out twice. They empty the buffer twice.
Then you'll hierarchy them, then you'll test them. You'll test them wrong first, then you'll test them right. In the same way as strategies, then you'll point out they go into a state. You with us so far? This is a yes. You elicit them. Then you do the hierarchy. Then you test them. That's all you need to do for values elicitation on demo day. If you're asked to do changing values in hierarchy, you could pick the same subject that was picked by the previous person.
Yes, that would be good.
Who had their values elicited and change one of those values in hierarchy for them.
If you don't pick the same person, then you'll have to elicit the values again, obviously. I had a case in California with...
There may be other reasons not to pick the same person too, but...
Yeah. But she was presenting on values, and I was clear that she's going to get the values demonstration. However, she volunteered as a subject, as a demo subject, for another person's values elicitation. So I couldn't give her changing values in her own hierarchy with set modalities.
Because it was her. Oh, well. So changing values in hierarchy, what you do, as you remember, is you find the value above the value you want to move up. You elicit the submodalities of that value, then you change the value you want to move up to the new submodalities, and that moves it up. Then you back it off slightly, and you end up with the value in the new place.
That's one driver slightly.
clearly outlined on the green tape set. If you're doing values, you must get the green tape set and listen to it so you understand how to change values in hierarchy. That's all in the values section there. Okay. With that having been said, this is how to teach values and do the demos. You get one demo subject and you have him or her pick one area of life. Then you elicit the values, what's important to you about X, standard elicitation. Then you elicit values from motivation strategy. Then you elicit threshold values. And then you put them in order. Then you test them. Then you send the students into an exercise. You do all of that before you send them into an exercise. If you send the students into three exercises, it will take you a lot longer, and they won't understand how all those values go together. They'll be confused by that. So you do the standard elicitation, then you do the values from motivation strategy, then you do the threshold values, then you put them in order, you hierarchy them, then you test, and then you send the students into an exercise. Then you, go ahead. No. Then you look at the conflicts between the values, toward and away from, toward, away. You elicit all the away froms, and you ask for all the possible conflicts, the toward and away. And then you get rid of the conflicts with timeline therapy, or visual squash, which is parts integration. Then you re-hierarchy them again, and then you demonstrate changing the order and sequence using submodalities. That's pretty much how, in an ideal world, you would teach and demo values section throughout the entire values NLP values section. Any questions about that? Yes. No.
In the demo day, you don't need to do the motivation.
In demo day, you won't do the motivation.
Threshold.
And, yeah. What's the most important? What's the next most important? And so forth and so on. No.
No.
When you test them, you feed them back in wrong order. So you test them by feeding back the 13th, the 12th, the 11th, the 10th value.
And there is when no, you test them right, absolutely you feed them, no shift. And when you test them right, the client back. Has to light up like the Christmas tree.
You feed them back 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's how you test them. Then you wouldn't get rid of them with timeline therapy. Then you just demo the changing of order with doing some modalities. Yes. I don't have that problem. If you fed him back 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you should get the same. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you should get the same response as you got when you fed back somebody's strategy to them.
The easiest way to hierarchy it correctly, the easiest way to do it is to not have them analyze it, just do it very quickly. So what would be the first one? I know they're all important for you. This is what you say. I know they're all your values and they're all important for you. But what would be the most important? Okay, what's next? Okay, what's next? Okay, what's next? And let them put it very quickly in order. Because if they start thinking about it, that's probably the wrong order.
Yeah. Who'd you learn from? Dave Shepard? Someone that I taught? Yeah, they're teaching it the way I taught it way back then. And Dave Shepard was doing the same thing. They're teaching it exactly the same way as I originally taught it when I taught it to Jeff. It's very cumbersome, and it takes about five times as long. You don't need to do, the only reason you have to do that, I'm surprised, See, a lot of people walked out of those trainings and thought they had to do that. That's so strange. Anyway, that's why I stopped teaching it. See, this is how trainings get changed, yeah? Because you teach something one way and everybody walks out of the training misunderstanding. Yeah. The only purpose for is this or this more important was if the student couldn't make a decision.
And only there.
And only then.
Not for all values.
Not for all the values. You don't go testing each value against the other. You don't do that. And I don't know. That's two people who ended up thinking they had to do it. Mm-mm. Three people. Huh?
Does when it? I took my master prac back then, I was under the impression that I have to do that.
Well, see, Michael may have listened to my old tape set and thought he had to do it that way. Or else he got it from Bobby Bodenhammer, who studied with me way back then. Yeah. Damn. See? Anyway, here's how you do it. As you look at this list, what's the most important? They go, blah. You go, good. What's next? They go, blah. You go, good. What's next? They go, blah. You go, good. What's after that? They go, blah. You go, good. What's after that? Blah. You say, great. You're done.
And if they, at the end, they decide, oh, I should have said this is number two.
Then you put it in as
1A.
2A.
Or 2A.
Or yeah,
something.
Or 1A. Yeah, that makes it very simple. Yes. Yeah, 4 to 5 hours. It's boring. Yeah, it was much faster. I don't know why. How the hell did that get out there that way? See, I didn't really intend for everybody to do it with every value when I wrote it in the book, or when I put it on the tape set. But a lot of people got the old tape set, and like Dave Shepherd in London thought that was the way to do it. So there must have been something I said wrong on the tape set. But the truth is that you only need to do that if they can't decide. So if, like, I can't decide if blah or blah is better. So you should go, if you could have blah but you couldn't have blah, is that okay? And they go, no. So how about if you had the other blah but you couldn't have the blah, would that be okay? They go, yeah. So you go, you put that one first. Anyway, cumbersome. Yes. It's a chance. I've actually had people do that, in which case you pick another demo subject. You have to elicit their values, though. Yes. Six areas of life.
Yes.
Six areas of life. Yeah. Six areas of life include career, family, relationships,
health
and fitness,
personal development,
personal growth and development, and spirituality. The six areas of life are clearly written up in the book, The Secret of Creating Your Future. And that pie chart of the six areas of life is also in the Master Practitioner tape set in the Value section. I can see it, but I can't remember exactly what page it's on. But it'd be on page something. 3-something. Or 4-something.
Three.
Okay, other questions about values? Good, we're almost done. Next page, 731, compulsion blowout. Don't do it! It's a marvelous technique.
Like a sledgehammer.
But it's like hitting a nail with a sledgehammer. You will pound in the nail. In some cases, you may destroy the nail, but you'll definitely pound it in. So what that means is that there's no built-in ecology when you blow something out with a compulsion blowout. Just beware of that. Be aware of that. There's no built-in ecology to the compulsion blowout, so you have to finish up the compulsion blowout with a swish pattern. So if you blew out anorexia, which is a compulsion, you would have to do a swish pattern of what they're going to do instead of throwing up. If you blew out bulimia is a compulsion plus a revulsion, you'd have to do a swish pattern of what they're going to do without their compulsion and what they're going to do without their revulsion. Okay? So that's a compulsion blowout. Yes. And actually, I would do timeline therapy before I do either of those because yeah. I've actually done anorexia and bulimia and had them disappear without
the compulsion blowout.
And then you go, oh, thank God I don't have to do it because it's a bear. People sweat. They writhe in their chair. They beg you not to, please don't make me do it again. And you, it's very unfair to them to start the process, and they'll beg you to do the please do the compulsion blow with me. So you say, okay, I'll do it. But then you say to them, but you have to, we have to complete it. You'll beg me to stop, and I won't stop. And then they'll beg you, and then they'll get angry with you, and then they'll plead, and then you have to keep doing it. Anyway, compulsion blowout. I don't demo it anymore. I do go through it because I think it's quite important. I have used it. It's useful for anorexia, bulimia, and obsessive-compulsive disorder. Obsessive-compulsive disorder. It blows it out. It gets rid of it. Gone, gone, gone. Platform skills. Last one, platform skills. Oh, by the way, there's no compulsion blowout on the demo day. And there's no platform skills on demo day. Why? Because they're not a demo. So demo your platform skills while teaching. That's it. What questions do you have about demo day? Was this enough? Did we get chunked down and detailed enough? Yes. Here's the question. Now the demo will be in a group. During demo day, what will happen is you'll go into a group with approximately 13 or 14 other people. And there are 17 demo topics which we have on our demo sheet here. You don't need the demo sheet because we've already gone over the 17 topics we're going to choose, and we've told you the ones we're not going to choose. So what Adriana or I try to do is we pick the topic before we go into the demo day so that we don't have to stress our brains out trying to figure out what topic to give you. We usually sit down in the quiet of our room and figure out what the hell you're going to do.
Or at least that very morning.
Now, what we say to you is we choose them at random, but the truth is we try to choose a topic which you can pass. We look across at Bassam and we go, God, if I could give him one topic in the world that he could pass, what topic would I give him? And that's the one we give to you.
Probably we'll give you collapse anchors, let's say. Yeah? Or probably we'll give you, if you're presenting on strategy elicitation, we'll give you strategy elicitation. Or if you're presenting on swish, we'll give you swish. Probably, most likely. However, it is not a promise, as we said. Because if three people or four people in the group have swish, only one of them will get swish. It's obvious.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a problem. What about what presentation?
Presentation will be in another day.
In a group of six people. We're going to switch groups twice between now and the end of eval. Yes. Yep. No, it's
so
not even
30
seconds.
So please stand up and demonstrate collapse anchors.
Okay, who's next?
Give him a hand.
Raise your hand. Who's next? Steve raises his hand. Okay. Steve, come on up and demonstrate collapse anchors. You walk
That's
up.
That's how much demo. Notice.
That's how much notice you have. Yes. So if you're doing anchoring, there's four or five demos in anchoring. There's basic anchoring, there's stacking anchors, there's collapse anchors, and there's chaining anchors. There's four demos in anchoring. So if you're doing any topic in anchoring, there's a good chance you'll get anchoring.
No.
Unless there's six people doing anchoring, in which case we'd have to pick your other topic. But if you do submodalities, there's a good chance you'll get something in submodalities. Because there's...
Now, what can you do?
Mapping across...
To make sure you have a great demo day.
Yeah. Well, first of all, demo day will be the best day of this training. I guarantee it. You will say to us when we're done, You don't believe it now. I promise you. But you will say, this was the best day of the entire training. Why didn't you teach it sooner? You will. It's exactly what you'll say. And the truth is, you don't need it unless you're going to become a trainer. And you do need it. And demo day is going to, you'll say, it's the best day absolutely that I've ever seen.
So come tomorrow morning. And grab people and practice with them. I want to practice anchoring. Okay. Would you be my demo subject? Right. Okay. I want to practice swish. I want to practice and practice all the demonstrations.
I don't know if everyone's going to be open or not. It's not.
It's Saturday. Julie, is the room open tomorrow morning?
Yes. Good. The room's open.
You have plenty of time to practice. You've got a day off in between this training and eval. You've got plenty of time to practice all the patterns. Practice them with other people, and you're going to be fine.
Yes. Before the day off, no. Eval goes like this. There's a test. If you don't pass the test, you don't continue in the eval.
So the test is in the first day.
So we give the test the first day. We have to pity us. We have to grade the damn tests. So after we grade the tests, we then will put up on the door what order of presentation you go and whether you do demo day on the first day, second day, or third day. It'll be clearly spelled out, but not until 8. Some nights we've gone until midnight grading the tests.
Best case scenario, 8.
Best case scenario will be 8, possibly 6 with any luck, but unlikely 6. 6 is a very optimistic and unreasonable time frame to think. That's how long it takes us. The coaching assistants and us have to grade the tests. That's the truth. So you'll find out what group you're in. I mean, I'll tentatively lay out the groups and the things, but you won't know for sure until after we grade all the tests. Some people do demos on day 2. Some people do demos on day 3. Some people do demos on day 4. And we won't know in advance. There'll be approximately 14 or 15 people. Oh, wait a minute.
There are 41 people. 30.
Hold on a second. We have a bit of a logistical problem, but
that's not your problem. That's our problem.
It's our problem. You'll either do your demos on day 2, day 3, or day 4 of trainers eval, and there's no way we can tell you in advance what that'll be.
Correct.
Yes. A given group will all do a presentation on one day, a demo on another day, and a presentation on another day. The only thing is we don't know what group will do that, and we don't know what group you'll be in because I haven't physically assigned them yet. I try to lay out, when I finally do the final groups for eval, I try to lay out the groups so that there aren't a lot of people in the same group doing the same topic. Which is almost impossible this year because so many people chose values. I'm going to have to shut up about what not to do. No. Cannot change now. Yes. The group for eval is all the same.
Yes.
And on demo day, we put two groups together. Anyway, we've got to figure this out.
Okay. Any other questions?
Any other questions about demos? Good. Well, I think you guys are now totally prepared to be absolutely the best at demos. So have fun.
Have a good night. See you tomorrow.